Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
There can be only one.
Let yourself feel the stack. Talk.
Potent.
We're potent.
A couple of potent guys.
Mm-hmm.
We're not
sitting
sterile.
Alone in the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Ready to repopulate the world.
Yeah. That's us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to Princes of the Universe.
Princes of the Universe.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like silk.
Every time.
Yeah.
It never gets old. I'm sad this is the final episode of Princes of the Universe.
Oh, my
because
God.
Then I will have no reason to burst out into Queen's Princes of the Universe.
Yeah, you just
reminded
me.
Other than the regular, the standard reason of, like, joy.
Yeah, you remind me it's the last one. Now I'm sad, too. Yeah, you could do it in other episodes for no reason. For no...
That's true. I could keep this ball in the air forever.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, who gives a shit?
So, yeah, this is the last episode. You guys, we've come a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Special thanks to James Rainey for being the one... who made this all happen, James?
Yep, for being the only one.
Yeah.
Did I do that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
James,
right.
You are the only one in our hearts.
There can be only James Rainey.
Yeah. This was a wonderful idea. This has been quite the journey.
Man.
And it's yeah.
There's been some real peaks and valleys in this series.
It's coming to an end with the final Highlander movie, the anime. Highlander, The Search for Vengeance.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think.
Man.
Yeah, The Search for Vengeance.
Yeah.
This is not available on streaming. We had to get it on the DVDs.
This is pretty tough to find.
Yeah. It wasn't that tough. You just had to get it on the DVDs. And then, like, you know, it was like $7.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I think it's on, like, it's probably on some random weird streaming services or something.
It might be on, like, Crunchyroll or something. I don't know.
Yeah. This is kind of a perfect. I don't know if James meant this. I thought this is kind of a perfect movie to end on, if you ask me. Because we're.
I think I agree.
Yeah. Because for one main reason is that up until this point, what has plagued the Highlander films is money. Production problems, not
yes.
being able to shoot where they want to shoot, and this is an animated film, so they don't have really that problem. They can build any world they want.
Yes,
and this was an attempt by the producers to sort of reset the franchise.
Yeah, it's focusing it on a new character, and it really. Does play out kind of like the first Highlander movie. It's very similar to the first Highlander movie.
Yeah.
Except it goes further into the future, into like a dystopia.
Yeah. 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 It's got a little bit of Highlander 2 in it for that reason.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So I guess let's go into Wetlander and talk about what this movie is about.
Yeah.
It follows, what's his name? Colin McLeod?
Colin McLeod, who's actually like not even... He's older than that. Like, they make him, like, an honorary member of the Scottish clan we see in the beginning.
Yes.
But he's already been dead for a couple hundred years at that point.
Right.
When he gets killed trying to fight that guy Marcus, who's his archenemy.
Yeah.
This movie, it's basically about, like, he was, like, a Celt, I think, who was, like, one of the barbarians in Rome's way of, like, conquering the world. Like, they got all the way into, like, the Germanic tribes of Europe or something, I believe, you know, like where Hadrian's Wall is.
Okay.
So he's one of those guys.
Yeah.
And Marcus is this Roman general, and he just absolutely steamrolls him and his guys.
Crucifies his wife.
Crucifies his wife. And then, like, I texted you, Dave, after, like, when I was 75% of the way through this, just being like, this movie is basically about a guy getting his ass kicked by the same dude for 2,000 years.
Yeah, it's Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner.
Yeah. Yeah, every time, like, it keeps flashing back to him tracking down Marcus throughout major points in history, and every single time, Marcus beats his asshole inside out.
Right. This could have almost been, like, a TV series for that reason. It felt like... Because, yeah, they keep... It's basically what it says in the name, the search for vengeance. It's a guy trying to get vengeance after, like, 2,000, 3,000 years, however many thousand. Yeah, and he just sucks.
He just sucks too bad at it.
Yeah, and he just keeps getting his ass handed to him. And this time he finally, spoilers, he finally gets him.
Yeah, he gets him.
It's in a dystopian New York where climate change has taken full effect, so everything's flooded. There's a virus killing everyone.
Killing all the poor people. And we find that it was engineered by Marcus and all the rich guys.
Right. Just like
Marcus literally lives in Trump Tower, by the way. Did you
notice
that?
Yes. It's way too topical. Yeah. It's a giant golden tower that he lives in. It's looking over the masses dying of a virus with flu-like symptoms.
Yep.
Yeah, and they're living in, like, the subway and stuff, and our boy Colin is just, like, he's just passing through, and he meets this lady, and...
Dahlia.
Dahlia. And she tries to sex him into helping him get the vaccine for the virus.
It's an acceptable form of...
Yeah.
Of trade.
Yeah. Well, she's a sex worker, and she's like she basically.
But she's also the
down.
Leader of She's also the leader of this resistance.
Yes, and he's like nah, and then he sees that his arch nemesis is actually the leader of this dystopian world, which it makes me wonder how. Well, we'll get to that in Outlander.
There's a lot
so
of
he's
questions.
Like, oh, I'll do this shit for free. And then he basically accidentally leads a revolution where they go to get the vaccines and he's just there to kill the bad guy. And they fight. And the lady dies via grenade being shoved in someone else's mouth.
It's pretty dope.
It's pretty like dope.
She's fighting this immortal lady. Dahlia is not immortal.
Yeah.
But this immortal lady shows up and like stabs her through the side like hellaciously. And she's like, well, all right.
Yeah.
And then just crams a grenade into the immortal lady's mouth. I'm like, well, I guess that would work.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Your head will become separated from your shoulders in that situation.
Technically speaking, yeah.
Yeah.
She's also apparently the resurrection of his wife.
Yeah,
sort
like
of.
Apparently.
According to like a pigeon.
Right, this old guy that talks to him through like mice and birds.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't sure about that.
And occasionally billboards.
Yeah.
She like has come back to life a few times throughout his very long existence, and he's just been so focused on killing this dude Marcus that he hasn't noticed.
Right. And then he fucking kills him, and he walks off into the sunset. The sunset being a flooded world. I feel like I'm putting stink on this description. I should probably note this is like my second favorite Highlander.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. It might be my favorite Highlander. I'm not sure.
Anime was a good format for Highlander.
After, what is this, the seventh movie? Eighth movie?
I think this is the seventh movie.
Yeah, after seventh movie, they were like, anime!
This is the sixth movie.
Sixth movie?
This is like, the sixth movie.
That was what, like, it took them that many movies to figure it out, but...
Yeah.
But it works really well because they don't run out of budget.
They're able
cheesy.
To do these like flashing back and forward through time and it doesn't look dumb.
Yeah.
And like the future stuff. I mean, the future stuff looks insane because it looks like, you know, 1980s futuristic stuff from a Japanese anime.
Right.
Because that's what it is.
Well, it was made in 2007.
It was made in the mid-2000s. But yeah, it feels very much like an Akira or like a Ninja Scroll. It reminded me a lot of Ninja Scroll.
It was directed, and we'll get to it, but what's his name? Yoshaki Kawajiri? I think I'm pronouncing that right. He did Vampire Hunter D.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
That checks out.
He also did the Animatrixes, which we'll get to. We'll get to that. Yeah, that very much checks out. It has that look.
And even kind of the same dynamic. Like, D had that, is it his hand that talks to him?
Is that it? I only watched that once.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while. And he also has like a wisecracking supernatural sidekick, and I think it's his hand. If somebody in listening right now is screaming at me.
Yeah, I used to watch.
I'm sorry, I only watched it once.
Yeah, I used to watch a lot of anime in college because other people would show it to him to me. However, I was like impossibly high every time. So my memories of anime is like, I'm not sure if that was real or that
I
was...
I don't know if this actually happened.
Yeah. like too high. Yeah. Like so yeah. High that it's like, it's all like a blur.
I watched, man, this was a few years ago now. I watched the X-Files episode F Emasculata when I was too high.
Ooh.
That was not a good experience. No.
I've never really watched X-Files high. I don't think that's
I didn't do it intentionally. Like right. I had like eaten an edible and it was like way too potent.
Yeah.
So I'm just sitting there like I really can't fuck with weed. Yeah. So like if I get like just the smallest amount, it just ruins me for the entire day.
Right. Every edible is a mistake.
Oh, there's, yeah.
No it's one the, has the, ever happily eating an right, edible.
You're just doing Crocodile Mile through a landmine yeah. field. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. That was neither here nor there.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Wetlander. We went through the plot.
Pretty much. It's very straightforward. It's a lot like the first movie. There's even some scenes that are identical. Like when he comes back to life and the Scottish clan is like freaking out. And then one guy, like his one friend shows up and is like, nope, don't kill him and tells him to get out of there.
Right. Yeah. It's straightforward. Which is why I think it works. They don't try to add new lore.
No, not really. There are like mutants. Like,
yeah, like, there are mutants. Let's get into Wylander. we're in Wylander. Why is there like a literal demon and a rhino man?
Just because it's an anime.
Yeah.
I didn't even question it.
Yeah. At the beginning, he just like goes into a mall, and there's like weird apocalypse dudes. And,
well, he sails across like a sunken baseball stadium.
Yeah, which looked great.
It was pretty sweet. Yeah, not gonna lie.
And then he fights this guy who's riding around a chainsaw sword, and he's awesome.
Yeah, that chainsaw sword dude is pretty dope.
Yeah, he reminded me of like what's his name? Killface? Is that the name of in Frisky Dingo?
I have not seen Frisky Dingo.
Ah, it's so good. It's so good. It's a weird sequence.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's Killface. He kills one of the guys, and I like that he causes a quickening. But first there's like the music, Tom. Where it does the quick cut to like someone wailing on a guitar.
It's Marcus wailing on a guitar.
That's who it is. Oh man,
yep. He is shredding.
Yeah,
and like his immortal sidekick lady is just sitting there like can't wait to fuck him.
Yeah,
she's like, oh man, he's playing that guitar like a guy I want to fuck.
Yeah,
it is so amazing.
Yeah, they have determined in their thousands of years of experience that this is the best way to fuck, and they're right.
Yeah, yes.
They're like, we fucked every way possible, because there's a flashlight that flashback that shows that he met her like in some random ancient war.
It's
in Japan, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's in the Japanese Civil War.
Yeah, so like they've been at it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They've been fucking every which
way.
They've
been fucking for like 1500 years.
Yeah. So this is it. He's just like, what if I wail in a guitar first? And she's like, I think we found it. I think we broke the code.
This is it. This is it right here.
Yeah.
This is the passcode to my panties.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Colin kills Killface, and they see the lightning, and she goes, oh, a quickening. And I have a question about that.
Yes.
That means, like, do quickenings happen all the time?
No, I think they're...
Okay.
I think they're uncommon. I don't think they're rare, and I don't think they're common.
Okay. Because she remarks on it like it's just like lightning. And also, I wonder how many times it's been just lightning. And she goes, oh, a quickening. And he's like, nah, I think that's just a storm.
Nah, babe, that's lightning.
Yeah. But she says it like it's not that amazing. She says it like she's delighted by it.
Yeah, well, she clearly, her character is established as being a person who just like lusts for death. Like she's really into killing. So I think maybe that aspect just delights her. And then, yeah. I don't know, I think in this universe and in the universe they established in the Highlander TV shows, immortals are way more common.
Right, yeah, so it is.
And there doesn't seem to be like an end game, unlike Highlander Endgame, of like catching an ultimate prize or something. It's just all of these people existing on the planet for thousands of years.
Right.
But you do gain their power if you kill them, I think. I think that's still, that appears to still be the same principle.
Yeah. Although this lady also, really, yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, that checks out. That checks out to me.
Yeah, yeah.
This lady also had to notice or note that she needs a longer dress.
Oh, yes. See this lady's butthole in like every single shot.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, they're stupping in Trump Tower.
Yeah, and he's wearing, can we talk about his outfit, his future outfit?
Oh, yeah. What is he wearing?
His completely insane suspenders. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's just wearing suspenders. He's got no shirt on.
Yeah. Why is he doing that? I guess, again, because they're like, fuck it.
He looks like a Final Fight boss.
Yeah, he does. They're just in a sex lair, so they're... I mean, that's the thing.
Right.
She's wearing this ass dress, but it's like, eh, it's in the privacy of their house.
It's a sexnasium uniform. That's what you wear to bone in the Golden Pyramid on top of your Golden Tower.
Yeah, that's more than fair.
They're just wearing their sexual adventurism.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been doing some weird... I mean, again, he's wailing on a guitar. They're having a great time.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, good for them. I know they're, like, killing a lot of people.
Relationship goals?
Yes, relationship-wise, they're
relationship
doing great.
Relationship
goals. Yeah. She takes a grenade to the mouth for him.
She sure does.
So our hero is... He runs into a sewer child named Joe.
Yeah, sure.
Who has
the voice of a 30-year-old man.
Yes, he's my favorite character. He's walking down the street, and this little kid jumps out of the sewer, and he's like, hey, how's it going? My name's Joe. I could get you whatever you want. You want a woman? And it's like, where are you going to get a woman, child? And he's just like, I want whiskey. And he's like, sure, boss.
Sure, I got what you need.
Yeah. So he directs
I got your whiskey, boss. He's a child.
Is he, though? I'm not certain. I guess. I'm thinking he might be like a child, like a man trapped in a child's body.
I don't know how magic works.
Yeah, that's
in this
fair.
Universe.
That's fair. I'm just imagining him like, hey, I'm Joe. I'm a 50-year-old man, and I got zapped into a child's body. What can I get you? So he goes to the Apocalypse Bar, and he just gets whiskey drunk in the corner.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, really, really simmering in his own despair.
Yeah,
sitting in the corner.
He gets a bottle of whiskey, and he's just fucking. He's like halfway through it, and then this woman approaches and says something, and it causes a giant flashback.
Yeah, what the hell does she say? You don't need that, you just need me, or something like that.
Something
and apparently
like that.
His wife, Moria, back like 2,000 years ago, told him the same thing.
Right.
And it's like, bro, somebody else is going to put those words together over that long a period of time.
Right. You can't go flashing back for a half hour every single time that happens.
Can we talk about, like, every time, seemingly, in the past, where he gets fucked up by Marcus. Like, he just accidentally bumblefucks his ass into a holy place so Marcus can't kill him.
Yes, he has to keep lucking into not being
murdered.
Like, I think the first time when he gets slashed in the face.
He gets his head cut in half.
Yeah, and then the horse saves him.
Right, the horse gallops him into Stonehenge.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
The horse
I
is
guess
just like, that's my chance.
Yeah. Now.
And then Marcus says, like, you lucky bastard. And it's like, he doesn't look that lucky. Also, does he know he's immortal at that point? Like, it felt like he's... Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's like, well, that's after Moira's dead. That's after.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's after Moira's dead, but before he teams up with the Scottish clans.
Right. Yeah, he gets owned so many times. The World War One was it scene?
Where he's just dead in the field?
Yeah. Well, where he skydives onto the plane.
Oh, that's the World War II one.
That's the World War II. Okay.
They show World War I where he's just dead in a snowy field. It's like, how did this happen? Yeah. How do you fuck this up?
Yeah. And then the Rome one, like, it's the rebels,
the siege of Rome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where he's sitting, like, Marcus is just in his fucking house painting.
Yeah. Like, it's great. Marcus, again, it's fucking, he's the roadrunner. Like, he keeps showing up and just being like, meep, meep. And then, like, beating the crap out of him.
Right. He beats his ass so bad in the Rome scene. You remember, yeah. He slashes like every tendon in his arms and legs so he can't walk, and then stabs him through the back into the floor so hard that there's like a blast mark on the floor.
And then
like it shattered the stone.
Right. And random people come in and he's like, oh, gotta go. But it's like, just kill those people too.
Just kill those people too.
And then finish killing this guy. You've been working on this guy for a while. Like, he clearly doesn't care that much about whether or not he actually kills him.
No, he doesn't. And that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Like, there's at one point where, I mean, Marcus is not like the most deep villain ever, but I appreciate that they gave him a little bit of depth, because at a few points, he explains that, like, you know, being alive for so long, it can, like, just, it's kind of pointless unless you find something other than continuing to exist that drives you.
Right.
And his thing is fighting for this empire, so he's just going to keep rebuilding this empire throughout history.
Right. Yeah. I love the scene where he's telecommunicating with a boardroom, and they're all, like, in suits, and he's a fucking vampire.
Like, he's wearing his suspenders.
Yeah. And they're like, okay, sir, we'll get on that right away. And it's like, what do they talk about when he's not around? Probably about the fact that they work for a vampire.
So he's clearly a vampire, right? Because he's not even trying to disguise the fact that he's the same dude that's been alive for thousands of years. Like, he just doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, you know, there's, like, tons of paintings with him in it. Like, he's a historical figure.
Right, he's in, like, history books.
Yeah.
And, like, archival footage from World War II.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there he is. There's the boss.
Yep, there. Oh, yeah. There's our vampire.
On D-Day.
Yeah, you know, at least one employee has done that, figured that out every single time.
Yeah.
Been like, guys, I think he's a vampire. And it's like, all right, well, we better not piss him off, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's always, like, the one new guy who's like, I think he's a vampire. It's like, oh, yeah, no, we all know.
Yeah.
We know.
It's a vampire. He pays well. It's fine.
He pays very well, and we get to live in this tower.
Yeah. I really like the part where our hero rips at a parking meter and throws it 500 feet into the jumbo screen.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. like a javelin.
In New York. He's so mad that he sees the bad guy on the screen. And then he has he rips at the parking meter. We get like...
That's like a 20-minute flashback.
Yeah, and then
it's so long that when it cut back to him throwing the thing into the screen, I had forgotten what scene that was.
Yes. Like, oh, right. We're still
Oh, right, he was standing in the road.
Yeah, like chronologically, like in terms of the actual story, we're like maybe 10 minutes in at that point, and it's like halfway through the movie. Just because they just keep giving us these flashbacks.
Yeah,
which are important. They're important because that's the real story.
Yeah.
Like the revolution that's happening is just like a yet another historical time for him to try to get, you know, beat this guy or get his ass beat.
Yeah, try to smoke this guy.
Yeah. In Highlander tradition, this movie had a sex scene. Had a weird ass sex scene.
Sure did. There's a lot of anime titties in this movie.
Oh, yes. That's to be expected. The sex scene has like fading in and out of churches.
Yeah, they're boning in a church.
Oh, they're in the church. Okay. Yeah, that's fucking weird.
I think that's what it was trying to tell me.
Yeah. It might be the least weird Highlander sex scene, though. There's been some weird ones.
I think this is the one, like the intensely graphic one in Highlander 3. Like, this is less weird than that one.
Yes, for sure. Again, at least the second best Highlander, this is.
Right. Oh, yeah, easily.
I think it's because anime, like the cheesy stuff we're talking about, like really works for anime.
Right, because it's anime.
Yeah. So it just works a lot better.
It's all cheeseball ridiculousness.
Yeah. I really liked the fight that leads to the grenade with the helicopter. That was really cool.
That was dope. Yeah, yeah. She shoots the evil immortal lady is flying this weird future helicopter, and Dahlia shoots it up a bunch, and one of the bullets goes right through her head.
Yes.
So she crashes the helicopter and breaks her neck.
Yeah, she goes. That was great. She goes,
it was
like when
awesome.
She gets shot in the neck, it's like a marionette with the strings cut. She just goes limp.
Yeah.
And the helicopter just goes.
And it's a. When they cut back to her after a little bit, it's like a real Deadpool moment. Like she sits up and twists her head around the correct way.
Yeah.
It's like, see, this is the shit they needed to have figured out for the other Highlander movies.
Right. They actually need good CGI or good effects so they could have these
a sense of humor.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I compared it to Deadpool. The Highlanders are essentially Deadpool.
You're right, but they're not funny. They take it so seriously.
Right, they take it so seriously. And it's like you'd think after the 900th time of getting shot in the chest, you'd have you'd kind of laugh about it.
Right, and you would have people react in funny ways. And
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they tried to do humor in some of the... Remember the last one before this with the villain that didn't make any sense? I think he was supposed to be funny.
Wait. which one? The Silent Hill guy?
Yeah, the Silent Hill guy. I think he was supposed to
be
funny.
Was he supposed to be funny? Well,
he said funny weird shit.
He said weird shit and he sang the Queen song.
Yeah, I think he's supposed to be funny, but he just comes off as being weird.
Has he seen Highlander?
Yeah.
Is Highlander a movie in this universe? It seems like he's seen Highlander.
Yeah. Seems like he knows exactly what movie he's in.
I can't even remember what the bad guy was in the movie before that one.
No, I don't.
The first.
It's all a blur, man.
Yeah, the one where Duncan has to kill Connor. I do not remember what that bad guy was. Completely gone from my mind.
Whatever.
Yeah, good
whatever,
shit.
Man.
whatever, dude.
I only need the first Highlander in this one now.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I need.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen them all.
Yeah, I'm down, yeah.
Maybe I'll watch the show at one point, but...
Yeah, maybe the show's good. Well, this was... Do we want to get into Howlander? Do we have more,
I don't have much for... Wait, I did have something for Whatlander, and now it's gone. Oh, my big thing for Whatlander is just, my big thing for Whatlander is just how is Marcus...
Wylander.
Balancing his books for thousands of years.
Oh, yeah.
Because a major plot point of the first one that, Connor has to keep reinventing his identity to hide his tracks. But, I guess it's just Marcus isn't really trying to hide the fact that he's immortal.
He's not, yeah. I don't think... I think in, the Social Security office just has his name and written under it in parentheses, immortal.
Yeah.
They're we don't know how to deal with this. We don't talk about it. We just, he pays his taxes. We just try to,
right.
Well, we just try to stay out of his way.
It says here he's a vampire and it says he's never filed taxes. Should we send him a tax return? No, don't do that.
Yeah. Do you want to send him?
Do you want to send the vampire a tax statement?
Yeah. We just leave the vampire alone. We don't talk about the vampire.
Yeah, we made this just so that we know he's there so we can keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
And that's it. He just stays over there.
Oh, man. Yeah, good God. I wonder...
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to deal with that. I like the concept now for a vampire movie of the government just we just try to stay out of the vampire's way. We don't know what to do about it. We tried to put a tracking device in his shoe like we would for a mountain lion just so we know where he is at all times.
Right, so that we can keep track of him and make sure he doesn't eat hikers at Griffith Park.
Exactly, but we can't stop him, so we just have to accept that he's there and tell people to, stay away if they can. But he also
to plan their outings according to the vampire schedule.
Exactly, yeah. All right. You ready
this
for...
Between 10 and 2 is when he normally rides his dirt bike around this area, so kind of don't be in that area.
Don't be in the dirt bike's path.
Yeah.
I love the idea that Marcus is on a dirt bike.
Of course he is. He's wailing on a guitar on his balcony.
He really has
a dirt bike.
Yeah. He belongs in, a wood paneling rec room like in the 80s. Like that.
Oh hell yeah. Yeah, oh man, he would thrive in a suburban garage in the 1980s.
Well, he lived through the 80s, and it seems like he didn't stop. He didn't continue after that. He was like, I found the perfect time to exist.
Oh, that decade really made an impact on him.
Oh yeah, and now he's like, I'm just, from here on, the world may continue on, but I will forever be in the 80s. Just getting laid at the mall. Just wailing on my guitar, doing vampire stuff.
Yeah.
Living his best
life. Wearing my vampire suspenders.
Yeah. God, what a... Could, what a fat... Like, he might be the best villain of the Highlanders.
Again, him or the Kurgan in the first one.
Yeah.
It's hard to beat Clancy Brown.
Yeah, that's true. It's hard to beat the first Highlander because it's kind of like... It's the Terminator versus Terminator 2 thing where it's like... Well, Terminator was the first one. Like, there's something... Like, I think there's always something to being the first one. Because mm-hmm. it's like, they created this whole world.
Yeah.
So you can't really beat that. So, yeah, I think we should, at the end of this, try to rate them all again, if we can even remember them.
Man, we'll try.
We did it with the live actions.
So many have quickened from my brain. Yeah.
We did it with the live actions, so go back and listen to the episode before this and just insert this movie as number two for me.
Yeah, least. I think you and I differed because I had I can't remember. You had Highlander 2 higher than I did.
Yes, I did, because that was ridiculous. But whatever the rank, this movie is now my second favorite Highlander movie.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
You want to talk about Howlander?
Sure. I have no idea anything about this movie, like why it came to be, who was responsible for it.
Well, like I said, the director, Kawajiri, he did the Animatrix. He did The Program, which I believe is the one where it's like ancient Japanese anime looking one. He also wrote the one with the runner. If you remember that one,
I have not seen any of the Animatrix. Oh,
damn it, Tom.
I saw the one that was at the beginning of Dreamcatcher, and I don't even remember what it is.
I would argue that's the worst one, too.
I think that might have turned me off to it because, like, you know, obviously the big hype for Dreamcatcher was to go watch it because the Animatrix would be at the beginning of it.
Right.
So I went and watched it, and it was like a subpar Animatrix short, apparently, and then followed by Dreamcatcher.
That's so bad. It's not that it's the problem with that one is that it's like one of the only ones in the Animatrix that is directly related to the plot of the Matrix. Mm-hmm. The others are just like stories that take place in the Matrix. So I believe The Program, I don't remember that one as much because I was really high. And I believe it's like, it's ancient Japanese like samurai fight, but it's in the Matrix and it's people who are aware of the Matrix. Oh, I think it's no, hence the name. I think it's a simulated program reveal. But they do. It's basically like really cool stories that take place within the Matrix. And the reason I bring up the Animatrix is because from the like interviews I've read, I think the Animatrix really had a big, influence on the decision to make this movie. It was written by David Abramowitz.
Abramowitz.
I don't know. He did MacGyver, 21 Jump Street, Jake and the Fat Man, but also the Highlander series.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the producers was Kevin Eastman, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, neat. Okay.
And he apparently had a big hand in this, but Galen Walker, the producer, I found an interview with him, and the DVD has a little bit of behind the scenes, but not much. But he basically said, like, when the Wachowskis did the Animatrix, they realized that they wanted to do something that was different for Highlander, and their thought was, if we make it an anime, if we get a Japanese director, and we completely rework it. Like, the way he put it is that this isn't your, like, a Saturday morning cartoon. This isn't the Ghostbusters cartoon where they're just trying to stretch it out. He was like, let's change the genre completely, give it to people who know that genre, and, like, form it for a new audience.
And that's not a bad instinct.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, he was inspired by the Animatrix to do that. And he was like, the people, we haven't really done that, you know? We haven't taken, like, a Western property.
So, was this... that's interesting, because I did notice that, like, aside from the director, the entire production staff is all English names?
Yes.
So, was this movie ever in Japanese?
I don't think so. That said, they had a lot of... It's like a co-production. Like I said, the writer is American, but Kawajiri did heavy rewrites, and they sort of were like, okay, you know, like they gave him a lot of power.
Let him do what he wants. Yeah,
yeah, because he tends to write his own movies. So the fact that like they came to him, and they weren't sure what he'd say, and he was a Highlander fan, and they gave him the script, and he was like, oh, I like it. And then he made changes to it, but they were all like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I mean, this is... they felt lucky to have him, because...
Right, and you can tell when you watch the movie that it is very Japanese. Like, it's just... Japanese storytelling is just different. It's hard to articulate exactly how, but, like, the movies are different.
They talked about
that. They're told with a different sensibility.
Certain things, like the three-act structure and stuff, are different. And so, yeah, they flew to Japan and basically asked him if he wanted to do it, and he did. They said there's a lot of translation, like the composers were American, so they're like, and the director, he doesn't speak English, so like there was a lot of weird translations to deal with the whole time. But yeah, Kawajiri, some of the changes, for example, there wasn't a virus in the original script. There wasn't flooding. The original script, it was New York surrounded by a desert, and he added the water because it's climate change.
Yeah.
In the original script, Marcus had been kidnapping and enslaving all the children.
That's a weird instinct.
Yeah, it's a weird instinct. I think it was better to do a virus.
Yeah.
There's a lot. The implications.
Yeah, it makes more sense.
Yeah, if you watch behind the scenes interviews on the DVD, you can kind of get this vibe. Is that they were clearly butting heads. They were clearly frustrated about the translation issues. The fact that it's two different countries trying to work together, but they all seem very happy with what came out of it.
Yeah, you can't tell watching it that they were butting heads. Unlike every single other Highlander movie, you can tell that they were fighting.
Yeah. Well, all right. I don't think they were fighting. I think it was just that it was a tough working environment, having to like sort of keep translating everything, having two production teams that were speaking two different languages. Nothing seems like. It doesn't seem too dramatic is what I'm saying, I guess. Is that like, I think it's like any other movie, there's disagreements and stuff. They cut about like 7 or 8 scenes in the United... There's a Japanese version and a U.S. one, the record. And they cut like 7 or 8 scenes in the U.S. version. And they added a few things. The monologue, the opening title cards are like for the American version, because we're dumb.
Yeah, we need things to be spoon-fed to us.
Yeah, they said it was mostly like pacing issues, though. Like I couldn't find any what the deleted scenes were. But yeah,
again, like we just mentioned, like the three-act structure and everything is different. So it's like, yeah, I can totally see them cutting some stuff. It's just like, well, this is running a little too long, and this doesn't really need to be in the movie.
The director went scouting in New York, which is kind of neat. Like, they went around...
Yeah. When they pull out... There's a couple of overhead shots in New York in the film, and it's New York.
Yeah.
I mean, albeit with a giant monolithic tower in the center of it. But.
The director said he was like, we spent most of the time scouting alleyways and manhole covers. And he was like, I needed to like take, after that, an actual trip to New York. Because they just like, they just, you know, it wasn't sightseeing. They apparently, they never got a chance to see the Statue of Liberty. And so at the time, I think the producer's wife was in Vegas and just went to New York and bought one of those little models of Statue of Liberty, and that's what
that's funny.
Yeah, and just took it to Japan, and that's what they used for modeling that. A lot of it was like they did a lot of CGI.
Some CGI, yeah.
Yeah, and then they animated over it.
You can tell there's a few not landscape shots, but there's a few like establishing shots, and there's a couple of shots of like some of the motion, like some of the vehicles in motion, where right. It's, you know, it's like when you watch Aladdin and the magic carpet ride sequence, where you're like, oh, okay, there's computers here,
right?
doesn't look bad at all, but I'm just no, it's it noticeable.
Yeah, it looks like modern animation. Right.
It's, yeah, it's like it, like when Futurama does it. Like you're like, oh, there, you know.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't look bad, but I recognize that there's a computer involved in this.
Yeah. In terms of recording, they recorded the voices first. It seems like
standard practice.
Yeah, it was interesting. Like the composers were talking about, they never got a final cut of the film. They got animatics and they composed all to that, which they seemed to think that was unusual. Honestly don't know. With animation, it's like, I don't fucking know what.
Yeah, I thought, man, yeah, because
that sounds especially about right.
It sounds right, especially with like the Disney musicals, where like we just said, you record the vocals first,
right?
So it's like if they're singing a song, you have to have the song composed.
Yeah, the song, it must be different with the songs. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems.
Yeah. Ultimately, this is an interesting part of the interview that I read, is that they got this editor, Jeff Warner, and they recut for 2 weeks, Kawajiri's cut. And he did not like that. He was he did not like that the producers recut his film. And the way the producer describes it is, I totally understood and respected his position, and basically I humbled myself and asked him to please consider these cuts and consider how we tried to keep the authentic feeling and view of the film. And then he says, but you can judge when the director's version comes out. Which implies that they still kept their cut, right? Like, yeah. He's like, the director's version. So, like, he didn't humble himself and ask him to plead. Maybe then he said, okay, yes. But, like, if there's a director's version, it means that that's not the version he wanted.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they cut his film and then was like, yeah, we're putting this out.
Yep. That's, I mean, sure they can do that.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. In the DVD behind the scenes, I wanted to shout out this quote because I think it's very funny. I forget what producer said this. If you don't have to watch the special features, but it's just one quote where the producer's talking about how what they wanted to do with Highlander. Mm-hmm. At this point, he said, "I thought we should really go back to the principle of like having a beginning, middle, and end."
real novel storytelling idea, man.
Very telling about Highlander films up until this point.
Yeah.
They're like, what if we make one that makes sense?
Yeah, what if we actually have a story to tell?
Yeah. There's this other quote that I think really, this is from the interview with the producer, that's actually really telling in that why I think this movie works. Mm-hmm. Is he says, we didn't want to reinvent Highlander. We didn't want to come back and say, yes, we're going to redo the franchise and reinvent the characters and tell the whole story from the beginning. We did stick to the lore of Highlander. And he goes on to say, like, we tried to follow the rules and not get too deep in following the footsteps of what have already been done. So basically they realized, like, okay, let's follow the rules. Let's not get too fucking buried in the lore. And let's just tell a new story. And I think that really worked.
Yeah.
I think that's the key to this, is that they were like, okay, keep the rules, the basic rules. Let's not try to explain why things are happening. And let's just tell a fucking story about this guy getting repeatedly beat up through time. And that's what we got. And it works.
Yeah. I really enjoyed this, actually.
I really enjoyed it, too. That's all I have for Howlander. Surprisingly, more than I thought I'd get. But there's one interview. It's an interview with, I think, Ain't It Cool, mm-hmm. That really, he really goes into the production.
Interesting.
Yeah. Any final thoughts? This is it, Tom.
I know. Yeah. No, you just mentioned Ain't It Cool, and that just reminded me of Harry Knowles' weirdly pornographic review for Blade 2. You remember that?
No.
Where he's like,
I'm gonna have to read it.
You have to look it up, you guys, because he like goes on and on about how like Blade 2 fucked his mind, pussy, and shit. Like he says some weird, vile shit in it. He's legit a maniac. Anyway,
yeah, this has been quite an adventure. I think if I were to make a graph of my experience watching the Highlanders,
Mm-hmm.
It would start high.
In the highlands.
It would slowly get low.
Yeah.
And then it would shoot up real quick, right at the end.
Right. It would look like a plane crashing into the ocean and then suddenly getting sucked up by a spaceship.
Yes. It would look like a shark's fin upside down.
Yep, indeed.
Yeah.
It's accurate.
That's Highlander. So, mm-hmm. like, kind
an upside
of...
upside down shark's fin.
Yeah, I feel like if I had to recommend how to experience Highlander...
I would watch the first one, and then I would watch Highlander the anime.
Yeah, I was going to suggest, actually, watching the first one, the second one to understand why you shouldn't keep watching those, and then the anime. Like if
that's fair.
Yeah, like because I think there'll be an instinct to be like, well, the anime was good. The first one was good. What about all these in the middle? I bet they're good. And they're, you know, they're not. They're not that good. They have a lot of heart at places. This is a tragic production in general. Yeah. Like everything we've learned about this production, it's you know what it's like, Tom?
What's it like?
It's like spending an eternity trying to kill someone only to get killed every single time.
Only to have him
beat
your entire ass.
Yeah, this
every
movie.
Every time you meet up.
Yeah, this movie like symbolizes kind of the Highlander franchise. It's just they kept trying and they finally got it again. And that's this movie. Man, we've come such a long way.
We have. We've slingshotted around the moon.
Yeah. But I think that's it. I think
we're done. I think we've done our job. We've done our duty.
I think so too. James, again, can't thank you enough. James,
it's been a journey.
It has been a journey. It's been a fucking I feel like we're back at the Shire and yeah. I'm not sure I'll ever be the same again.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to go fuck off with the elves.
Yep, I got to go on a boat with the elves to eternity.
Yeah, what were they? Is that where they were going?
Yeah, they're going to like the Undying Place. I forget what it's called.
Okay,
they're going to heaven, basically.
I assume they're just having all the sex.
Well, yeah, they're going to be in on top of their sexnasium pyramids, wailing on guitars and fucking each other in their butthole dresses and their chest suspenders.
Damn right they are.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for hanging out inside and listening.
Yeah. We appreciate you all, especially James Rainey.
Especially James Rainey.
Who made us do this.
Yeah. Who made us do this. Didn't flinch.
Mm-mm. He stared like, unblinkingly into the sun.
Uh-huh.
Like a warrior poet.
And he pointed and he said, I want you to go there. And we did it.
We had no choice but to oblige.
Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah.
Should we plug our Patreon?
Are we? I guess so. Yeah. I know times is tough, but...
Yeah, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Yeah, times is tough. Do what you want. I don't know, man.
We're there. We continue to survive on your support, but we totally understand that times is tough right now.
Yeah, and so I just hope you enjoyed this. I hope you're lying on the floor mm-hmm. with your kids, your family all around you. And you're, you know, this is keeping you just a little more sane.
We hope you and your family are all lying on the floor, incapacitated.
Yeah. No, fully awake. You're experiencing everything.
Yeah, you're every sensation. You can't do anything about it, but.
Yes. I hope you've been paralyzed by some sort of sci-fi drug.
Some sort of fugu venom.
Yeah. And you're just riding it out now because mm-hmm. you did it to yourself. You were
really,
trying to invent the drug.
You are to blame. Yeah. You are to blame here.
Yeah, you put it in the muffins because you thought you were gonna like Heaven's Gate your family.
Right, you thought that comet was a spaceship, but it was really just a comet.
Now you're sitting there paralyzed for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. The last thing you did is put on this podcast because that's what you wanted you and your family to all die to
slip into eternity.
Right, but instead you're hearing our voices right now.
Yeah, and there's nothing you can do about it, man.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Should have thought about that.
All right.
Now who's the jerk?
It's fucking you.
It's you, buddy.
Oh, shit.
Oh.